Good evening, everyone, and welcome to a Fireside Chat. This is your host, Lance White, sometimes referred to as Zany Mystic. Tonight, I'm really delighted to have someone back who was my very first guest on this show, Jean-Claude Coven. For those who don't know, Jean-Claude is best known for his book, Going Deeper. It's a metaphysical page-turner designed to awaken us from our sleep in a whimsical yet profound manner. He is a writer and speaker based in Rancho Mirage, California. Well, it's been almost a year since we spoke, so let's welcome Jean-Claude to the show. Hello, Jean-Claude. How are you?
I am phenomenal. How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing just great. Better than a year ago.
What a year it's been.
You know, but actually the last time we spoke in person, it was in person, you had recommended on our first show, the Mount Shasta event was where you were presenting and David Icke and Jazz Mahin and all, and
mm-hmm.
we met there.
We did indeed.
Yes, so that was a wonderful thing. I you know, that came out of that first show, and a lot of people, I think that show got more feedback. I had more people asking me about that, you know, the Atlas Prophylax adjustment than anything else since.
It's been quite a phenomenon. I had a call from one of the practitioners that came back from Europe and said it's all around Europe. That article just got a phenomenal amount of press.
Wow.
And all of a sudden, they went from being an underground organization to being in such demand that they're going to be putting up some trainings here in the States and getting more practitioners up and running so that it can go worldwide faster.
Wow. Well, I certainly swear by it. I didn't notice any results, nothing immediately like the ones that you described, but but I can tell you I have since had some energetic shifts that certainly knocked my socks off. So.
I wouldn't want to be where we are right now with everything changing as quickly as it is doing without having had that adjustment done. For the listeners who aren't familiar with it, the Atlas is C1, the topmost vertebrae in the spine, and it appears that it's out in 99.9% of the people. And with this particular type of adjustment that we were talking about, called the Atlas Prophylax, and you can look that up on Google and find it, it's a pretty permanent adjustment. I've had mine in, and I had I spent some time with a doctor who was an osteopath, and she checked it, and she said, "My God, yours is in." You're quite right. It makes a big difference in energy flow.
You know, there was something of a mysterious reason how that originally got out of whack, wasn't there?
There was indeed. In fact, if we could refer people, the website where the book is and all these articles are is Going Deeper, the title of the book, goingdeeper.org, O-R-G. When you're on the site, if you wish, the entire book is up there, and I'll explain why we're doing that as well, Lance. You can buy it if you'd like to, but you certainly don't have to. And the articles that I write, I do a weekly column for United Press International for their Religion and Spirituality Forum. And if you click on UPI articles when you go onto the goingdeeper.org website and look, scroll down, and you'll find an article called Reversing the Curse. And you will read a story that will blow your socks off, as it did to me, as to how and why our C1s were deliberately put out to block the energetic flow. So it's very, very important that we open it up now, however
Absolutely.
It's done.
Absolutely, and I also highly recommend all your articles. I think I've read every one of them, and they're like, well, I'm not a vegetarian, so I can say this. They're like filet mignon.
With béarnaise sauce on top. I love it.
Oui, oui, monsieur.
Oui, oui. Now you're bringing back my ancestry, alors.
Oh, I have a petit peu de français myself.
Voilà.
Just enough to say a word or two.
Yeah.
So I know when we spoke the last time, I think you had already kind of left the book in the dust. I mean, no sooner had you written it than you were off and running, and the alarm had sounded, and you were galloping onto some new wonderful horizons. Do you want to share some of your journey with us?
Yeah, it feels like one of those fast-moving rivers that you go whitewater rafting on. And it's just the flow of events. It's just carrying you with it.
Yeah.
And, you know, you sort of see the shore as a blur as you go by. And yeah. all the things that used to be relevant, all the old things that you held on to that defined my life a year ago
yeah.
have receded so far into the distance that I barely can recall them.
Yeah.
And the only way that I've found that allows me to move with the shift that's we're all in the throes of at the present time is to have no preferences, to release my concept of
yeah.
belief, all yep. the lenses that I use to judge, all my need to understand and compare, and just go with the flow and just see where
yes.
it takes me.
Yeah.
And the one thing that we talked about the last time, which to me is increasingly relevant, is that what we see depends on where we're looking from.
Mm.
And if we have such an investment in grabbing onto a branch on the side of the stream and locking ourselves into a position, as many people have
yeah.
become so mired and married to a particular ism or ology or way of looking at things, usually a conviction or a religion or a philosophy, that
yeah.
they don't want to see anything else. They have such an investment in making that so that they become blinded to other possibilities. And that
mm.
makes the shift for them a great deal more difficult, unfortunately.
Oh yes, absolutely, absolutely. I always tell people, you know, it's time to not only to get rid of your baggage, but throw it out the door as fast as possible.
Absolutely,
you'll drown with it.
You absolutely will. I mean, it's a lot of these concepts that people are holding on to are really concrete life vests on the Titanic.
Yeah,
it's a dangerous way to go, and the difficulty is that you're letting go of something that is you eternal salvation or ascension or whatever the words are, whatever the carrot is that we chase.
Yeah.
And what you get in return when you let go of it is absolutely nothing. And that is the part that is so maddening and so difficult. You get
yeah,
absolutely
yeah.
nothing.
Yeah, yeah. Quite true. Quite true. But it's a great nothing. I mean if you gotta have nothing, it's
From nothing comes everything, and that's
yes.
that's the beauty of it. You know, when we all of a sudden in the nothing, we dissolve. The ego just goes away,
yeah.
and what arises is something quite magical. It's ineffable, which means we can't put it into words, but it's an expression of ourselves that reaches a fullness that exceeds anything we can imagine.
Yeah,
and that's the invitation to the dance I think all of us are being given at the present time. It's a very, very tricky way to go. Everybody
yeah.
wants answers. Everybody wants to have abundance in their life and have the perfect relationship and all the things that, you know, so many of these seminars talk about.
Yeah.
And yet, how do you find a part of you that is willing to transcend winning the little game of the illusion?
Yes, absolutely.
And it's a toughie.
Absolutely.
In the world of zany mystics, that's the world, Lance, you live in. It's a tricky,
yeah.
tricky proposition.
Yes, it is. It is. But, you know, it's amazing how the universe just kind of unrolls, you know, when you let go and you are coming from a clean slate, that it just presents in front of you. It just presents what's next. And if you're present, then you don't have to make any decisions. There's nothing to think about. The magic happens, and you're on the magic carpet.
Absolutely. But that takes a phenomenal amount of faith.
Yeah.
But it's an outward faith. You don't have a faith in anything.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
just have an inherent faith in the flow of the universe.
Yes.
In the existence of all that is. I don't even know how to put it.
Yeah.
I used to know a lot more about it way back when.
Yeah.
And I find the further I immerse myself into this journey, the more difficult it becomes to really have any idea of where I'm going or where I am.
Oh, that's why I love talking to you, because you're not afraid to say these things, you know, and there are not many people who have reached the point where they can actually phrase it so clearly as you do.
Well, thank you. What I'm learning is that I have no desire to get anywhere, but I
yeah.
absolutely adore this journey. I don't
yeah.
know where it's taking me. I frankly
yeah.
don't really care. But the joy of being able to bear witness to creation exceeds
yeah.
anything I could have ever imagined.
Yeah.
We're living in such an extraordinary universe. And
oh,
if
absolutely.
We can just save ourselves from getting caught up in the little whirlpools and eddies of the drama of our old life, then we can begin to taste some extraordinary adventure.
One thing that you made popular was the term the Wanderers, which I love that phrase. The 70 million souls that came to awaken the rest of us who fell asleep themselves. Since you wrote that, what's your take on that process? Do you feel that there's a greater... where are we in the awakening process from your eyes?
Ooh, interesting question. First of all, I can't take credit for that particular term. I got that term when I read an extraordinary channeling done by Carla Ruckert, Jim McCarty, and Don Elkins called The Law of One. LL Research puts it out, The Law of One.
Yes,
and,
I love that.
That was a channeling, an ongoing channeling over years in the early 80s from a sixth-density entity. A sixth-density entity is further removed in consciousness than we are from a grain of sand. And... it was a channeling that came through, and they called us wanderers, beings from their dimension mostly, from the sixth density, who were lovingly taken incarnation on Earth to be able to just to assist, to be here, to shepherd, to midwife the shift, just to add our energies, never realizing how incredibly cloying and oppressive the illusion was and how we would get caught in it like quicksand.
Oh, yeah.
And we forget who we are.
Absolutely.
And at the time of the writing, they mentioned, I think, the fact that 94% of the 70 million highly evolved beings who took human form had no idea of who they were. They were as stuck as the people they came to serve.
Wow.
And it was an area of major concern.
Uh-huh.
So that few of us have the job of trying to ring the bell, pretending we're Paul Revere, saying the British are coming, the British are coming, the ship is coming, the ship is coming.
Right.
And doing everything we can to help those beings that are called wanderers. They're also called light workers, star seeds, planetary servers. There's many, many names for those beings who really feel that they've come from someplace else to be of service at this particular time of the shift. And the first thing that these beings need to do, that we need to do, is we need to wake up.
Yes.
We need to come into full realization of who we really are, why we came and why we're here, what it is we're meant to do, and get on with it. Support each other. There's a lot that we're going to do in that area over the next year. The major thing that happened, if I can relay a story to you.
Oh, absolutely.
I spoke in Nicosia in late October, early November. Nicosia, the capital of Cyprus, which is a very interesting historical island. It's in the Mediterranean, off the coast of Turkey on one side, Lebanon on the other. It's partitioned. Part of it is under Turkish domination. The rest is under Greek influence, but they're quite independent. In fact, they'll be joining the common market shortly.
Huh.
And it's a history of an island that has constantly been, because of its geographic location, it's constantly been invaded and occupied by outside forces, whether they were the French or the Turks or the Greeks or the Ottomans or God knows who came next, the British, to exercise their dominion over that island.
Mm-hmm.
For the first time, these people have their own freedom. And it's an interesting experiment to watch.
Mm-hmm.
But what happened there is I met with several of the Cypriots, a lot of expats that are living there, as well as people from other countries who've come just to the conference to visit. And sitting around, we realized something that was stunning to me, that whatever all of us are doing collectively, you, I, and all the other writers and speakers and people that want to be of service, whatever we are doing collectively isn't working. Mm. And you see that it isn't working simply by watching what's happening on this planet and the direction that things are going. They're not getting better. In fact, they're getting to the point where it's getting very scary for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
And we sat back and we realized that it is not for lack of intent. It's not for lack of information or ability. The people that are out there are brilliant. We do not need to reinvent the wheel.
Mm-hmm.
Nor is it because the delivery systems don't exist. They were just never married. And so things that BBS, that Don is doing now with the BBS system and others are doing, taking radio worldwide, we're going to create, using this concept as a base, the world's single largest computer by linking together 10 to 20 million individual computers through a vast metaphysical website in which all the information we can put our hands on, which is non-directional, in other words, it's non-denominational, it doesn't espouse a particular teaching, but it clings to three separate principles, and these are the principles that I tell people that I'm a metaphysical huckster, that I'm selling as hard as I can. The first one is increased awareness.
Okay.
The second is to rekindle the curiosity we had as little children.
Oh, yes.
And the third is to sell self-empowerment, so that you're no longer looking to an ism, an ology, or someone else for approval. You're becoming self-referential, and you're taking yourself through the process.
Yep.
And then the website will contain interviews such as this, you know, all the ones that we can get from Don and from you and from everyone else that has an archive. It'll include as many books as we can put on at no charge. It'll include different courses people can take, sacred geometries, chants. There's some chants that if you sit and listen to, they will absolutely transport you. If you recall, we did one of them at Mount Shasta.
Yeah,
the effect, of being in the presence of that, intoning of the Yodhe Vodhe with the Kadosh, 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 I don't know, Tzavayot.
Wow.
It's stunning.
Awesome.
And we will have things like that on the site so that people can actually go through the transformational process without having to pay a penny.
Oh, wonderful. Boy, that's music to my ears.
So
absolute
we are in the process
music.
Of putting that major site together. We're in the process of registering the company offshore so that it doesn't look like USA hegemony, again, something coming out of America. It's coming out of Hong Kong. We'll develop a 501c3 company here in the States so we can raise money for it by going for large grants. There are a lot of institutions and individuals who would support something, you know, a worldwide project like this. So it doesn't come from the people coming on the site.
If there's anything I can do personally to help, you just ask.
There is, and I will call upon you as we pull this together.
Wonderful.
This will become a vast, cooperative, inclusive effort.
Absolutely wonderful.
All of us pull together to take everything we can so that we just throw out the entire concept of competition.
Yes, absolutely.
We all pull together to help each other move up this ladder.
Absolutely. It's the only way that it will work.
Yes. This was a major shift for me being in Cyprus and realizing that by myself I could accomplish nothing except to fan my own ego. That's all that I could do. And that would be very, very lovely for a while. You have your Andy Warhol 15 minutes of fame.
Right.
In the end, I would have accomplished nothing.
Right.
And by joining together with as many beings as I possibly can, I become like, the drop. Finding myself once again in the ocean. I lose my identity, but the ocean has massive power.
Oh, yeah.
And that's,
that's
what we're looking to do.
I love it. I'm all for it, and that's exactly what I'm about. So that's thrilling. It's amazing. And you're hearing it first here on the radio, folks.
There you are. And we've got a name for it. We're calling it Our Global Network.
Okay.
We've already registered ourglobalnetwork.com, .net, and .org. So they'll all point to the same site. We'll have our own servers. It'll be mirror sites in different countries around the world.
Wow.
And it'll be massive in terms of its scope.
Oh,
and if someone can live on the site, we'll be putting together 24/7 live conference calls through Skype or some other means that people could hook into for free, just listen into or participate in.
Wow.
We've got a template that I just learned when I was in Phoenix. That two incredible people put together called Out of the Box.
Ooh.
We're going to set up something like this where people in all the local communities can have metaphysical get-togethers that have that are basically leaderless. There's a form that people follow.
Yeah.
And they put anybody that wants to ask, have a particular question discussed that night, writes it down, and they put it into a box, and somebody reaches into the box and pulls out the question. Everybody talks about that until they, talk that one down, and then they pull the next one out.
Oh, how wonderful.
It is amazing what comes out when people begin to empower themselves and stop sitting at the feet of people that they think are better or more evolved than they.
Absolutely.
It's amazing what comes out when people are willing to take their own power.
Absolutely right. Wow. I'm getting goosebumps. Amazing, amazing. I'm so thrilled, Jean-Claude. That's absolutely magnificent.
What I pose to people when I speak, and I'm traveling, you know, as much as I can around the country, around the world. I'm going up to Canada later this month, up to the beautiful island of Victoria, to speak at a Unity church there. And I tell people, I said, imagine now we just lock the doors of this room and none of us leave until we figure out what we can do if the entire fate of the planet depended solely on us.
Yeah.
What can we do to shift the consciousness of the planet?
Yeah.
And I've just taken that point of view. What if it actually totally depended on me? What else could I even imagine would be anywhere near as important as fulfilling that particular task?
Yeah.
And if all of us pull together and our intent is to help shift the consciousness of this planet, we will do it. Mm-hmm. We keep in mind Einstein's wonderful observation that no problem can ever be solved at the same level of consciousness at which it was created.
Exactly.
So that we can't go in and have the debates that we have with all the talking heads or think that there are political or sociological or
scientific
diplomatic solutions
right.
for the problems we've created. There aren't.
Right.
There really aren't. We can spin our wheels. We can pretend they are. We can look for peace. But basically, we don't even understand the concept of peace.
Yeah.
If you take any one of the historical divisions that are so deeply ingrained in the blood of the people, and we say, okay, we want you to love each other as brothers, you have to lose yourself first. You have to lose the identity of Palestinian and Israeli, of Shiite or Sunni, or all the other divisions, Protestant or Catholic, wherever you want to go around the world, Tamils. I mean, it doesn't matter where we go where you have these deep-seated hatreds for reasons they don't even understand themselves.
Exactly.
And we want to create peace in the midst. What we have to do first is shift consciousness, raise the vibrations of the beings. Lo and behold, once we practice love and understand the higher aspects of ourselves, the entire concept of peace becomes irrelevant.
Yeah.
Because there can be nothing else but love. And in the presence of love, peace is always a byproduct.
Yep. Wow.
That's the job we have ahead of us. And it's we're racing the clock. We're doing some terrible things to ourselves, to the planet, to each other. While this is going on, we have to start a brand new game at a higher vibration.
We
cannot unwind the mess we've made. There's no way to put the toothpaste of Iraq and Afghanistan and other places back in the tube. We can't.
No.
We've unleashed monsters there. And so what we have to do is just raise the vibration of the planet and give every individual the chance of either coming along or saying, you know what, I really don't want to make this shift. I don't want to go to the next density. I like this game the way it is.
Yeah.
I want to stay. And they have the option of doing that too, which is a perfectly wonderful option. Not the one that I take personally, but I totally honor every being's right to choose whatever he or she wants for whatever reasons make sense to them at the time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Speaking of the time frame, do you still see that unraveling as we approach 2012, or we're in 2007 now, and it would appear that the Earth changes are minimal in comparison with what I thought they might be, you know, about this time.
Well, Earth changes. I mean, for us to take notice, the Earth changes have to be a lot less subtle than they are. The vibrational changes that are going on to this planet are massive. It's not that we need to see California break off and fall into the ocean.
Right.
The stuff that's happening to me, from my perspective, the point from which I view, is every bit as dramatic as that, energetically.
Yeah.
And so when people ask me about 2012, I use Pascal's wager, which is a very famous, Blaise Pascal was a famous mathematician back in, I think, the 1700s, was it?
Yeah.
And the question came up of, should one believe in Christianity or should one not? I mean, it's flawed logic, but it's interesting.
Okay.
And he said basically, okay, Christianity promises eternal salvation to those who believe, and it will damn those people to eternal hell if you do not believe. If it is correct and you believe, you win. If it is correct and you do not believe, you lose very badly.
Yeah.
If it is not correct and you believe, no harm, no foul. If it is not correct and you don't believe, nothing happens. So the only way you could possibly lose in big time is if it is correct and you choose not to believe, therefore you should believe. That's the concept. And it's just, you know, it's become sort of a talking point in philosophical concepts. Without arguing the merits of his particular argument, I look at 2012 saying, either we have that long or we don't.
Yeah.
If we don't have that long and I acted as if we did, I might miss an opportunity.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm just acting as if we really don't have till 2012 to make the major moves. What we're going to do, you know, what we're planning to do by launching this site, for example, in itself is not going to change a single geopolitical event on the planet. But if it changes the consciousness of one more person that otherwise would have not had the opportunity, then any effort is worthwhile.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, the raising consciousness in one person, it can shift the whole planet, and at some point it will. You know,
it probably will. I'm happy. You know, I always tell myself that if during the course of a lifetime I can truly touch one being and make a difference, I certainly know that beings, more than one being, have touched me and made a difference. If I can play that forward, then the entire incarnation would be worthwhile. This to me has been such a treat to serve on this planet, I can't tell you. Every day that I wake up, I just feel triply blessed to be able to be here, now during this incredibly fascinating time, and realize that we not only play a part in it, we can play any lead role in the shift we wish if we just step up to the plate.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is big stuff. And this is open to you, it's open to me, it's open to every single person who listens to what we're talking about, and all the people who don't have a chance. We all have an equal opportunity to take as big a bite of this apple as we want.
Yeah. Well, it's pretty exciting. What's the time frame for the global network to begin surfacing?
Well, I'm trying to get the job done in Hong Kong, get the company formed over there by the end of this month.
Okay.
Then it'll take probably about 6 months to get the 501c3 registered in the States. That has to go through the federal government first, then probably the state of California. After that, we can begin, but I think as soon as we know this 501c3 is firmly en route, I've got the team already together who will begin writing the grant proposals and putting all the stuff down in writing.
Wonderful.
We'll figure out a way to self finance until we get some solid funds in.
Yeah.
And our launch date should be early next year.
Wonderful.
All things going well. Every single being I've spoken to, Lance, in the metaphysical community has had the same reaction as you. Please tell me what I can do. Consider it done. I want to be part of this project.
Absolutely. Well, you know, I think so many of us are doing that on our own already.
Yes.
And it may have occurred to us that it would be beneficial to partner up with others, because we see that there's a synergy working with others that doesn't exist when you work by yourself or just
absolutely.
With a couple of people.
Absolutely. What we're doing, all we're doing really, is we're creating a worldwide platform linking together 10 to 20 million computers as both receivers and transmitters, and I can get into that a little bit more. To give people like you, like Don, like all the other people who've got wonderful messages to bring out to the world, a platform to speak to an ever-widening audience. And to create messages, to create experiences, to create methodologies through which people can begin self-empowering and their own process of personal transformation, however they wish. It'll be open, you know, to anything which is basically non-dogmatic. It'll be a totally inclusive site. There's no particular philosophy that we're selling. I don't think there should be one.
So you're not going to have your dog there, your metaphysical dog.
My dog, Zeus, God bless.
He's quite a little animal.
Oh, he's exquisite. A picture of Zeus is on the website, by the way.
Oh, I've got to see
for those
that.
People who want to, you'll have to do a little digging, but if you'll find the word Zeus in the menu on the side, on the left side, there's a place where you can ask Zeus questions.
Oh.
It was really, I mean, this is interesting. There was a point at which I put out to, I don't know, 50 or 60,000 people, gave them a chance to ask Zeus a question. We were overwhelmed with responses.
Oh, well,
and in reading them, they all asked basically the same questions. You know, circumstances were changed, but it was fascinating to see what people wanted to ask, if they could ask a higher power, a higher entity, a higher consciousness, intelligence, a particular question.
Uh-huh.
It was very much the same question. And then the concept came through from Zeus, or from the higher entity. I just call him Zeus because Zeus, by the way, is a stuffed dog. He's a cute little stuffed animal. But the information came through on how any person can shift the point from which they view, he or she views, to be able to answer any question they ask themselves. So opposed to putting your power out to a palm reader or a tarot reader or a seer or a prognosticator, you become your own source of information. What a powerful way to go. And this one article, which is also on the website, goingdeeper.org, you'll reach it when you ask Zeus. It says, before you ask Zeus a question, read this. As soon as that article went up, the questions into Zeus went from a torrent to a drop. We may get a question every 2 months.
Huh.
The article was so powerful, people tell me, in giving them the personal power to solve their own questions and their own problems.
Wow.
That has changed life after life after life, just this one article.
Wow, amazing. Well, that's transformation for you.
That's transformation, absolutely.
Do you
like the song, that's entertainment, I love it. That's transformation.
Do you still have friends that work with the Council of Nine?
Interesting question. I would think that the toggle answer to that would be no.
Okay.
The last time I had direct contact with the council was through Phyllis Schlemmer when I was at her house in Israel.
Uh-huh.
She was still living there before she came back to the States. That had to have been 1985.
Wow.
It's been that long since I've had any direct contact with the council.
Wow.
I've met people who claim that they can, you know, that they receive information directly from the council, and I kind of take that with a grain of salt. I saw what Phyllis had to go through. She went into deep trance.
Oh, I've read
in order
story.
To make the connection. And
I
even
mean,
so, as gifted as she is, as I mean, she is like, you know, a absolute world class channel, came specifically to do this. She could not make direct contact. She needed Tom as a shuttle. So she would go as far as she could, and Tom would take it the rest of the way. So she would ask Tom a question, and Tom would go to the council, get the information, and come back to her.
Wow.
Very much the same, if you recall the incredibly seminal book that J.J. Hertak wrote, Dr. Hertak, called The Keys of Enoch.
Oh, yes.
When he had his experience, he was taken out of his body by Master Enoch and taken as far as Enoch could go. Enoch could go no further. And then he was transformed into a different kind of energetic body, enshrouded and kept safe by Metatron. And Metatron could go higher, to the higher realms, and took him up to the throne of the Father. That was where the Yod-Heh-Vod-Heh chant came from. That's where J.J. learned the chant and was imprinted in 48 hours with the incredible information that was groundbreaking information at the time. That resulted in this monumental book, The Keys of Enoch.
Yeah, yeah.
But we can all go where we can go.
Well, hopefully we're all going higher together.
We are indeed. It's inexorable that we will all go there. The entire creation, you know, when you realize, you know, I emphasized curiosity so heavily before. But the impelling force behind all of creation is curiosity.
Yeah.
It's the oneness seeking to know itself infinitely
Yeah.
Creates an infinite number of points through which it can experience and view itself.
Yeah.
And that's all we are. We're a point through which the creation views itself within this illusion that exists only in our minds. It's quite an extraordinary thing. When you get beyond, when you go backstage and you see how the illusion was created and who created it and why,
no.
You just sit and giggle. And you say, my God, we got ourselves so caught up in forgetting who, what, and why that we are totally, absolutely stuck.
Yeah.
A good heavy dose of WD-40.
Yeah. Well, we're about to get it, aren't we?
We are.
I mean, one way or the other.
One way or the
other, everything's going to shift.
Yes. This is a... 2007 is a magnificently pivotal year.
Yeah.
I think more things will happen in this year than have happened in the 10 years leading up to it. And
yeah.
It'll be accelerating from here.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
we're in for a rocky road.
I think so, too.
Buckle your seatbelts, as Betty Davis said in one of her films.
Yeah, what's that?
She said, buckle your seatbelts. I think in All About Eve, buckle your seatbelts. This is going to be a bumpy night.
It's going to be a bumpy ride. Yeah, I love that line.
Yeah.
One of my favorites. What was I wanted to ask you a question about... I'm not going to ask you that question. I'm not going to ask you any questions. We'll just keep talking.
Absolutely. Absolutely. This is a fireside chat. Well, this is a chance for us to roast some s'mores and put some Mickeys in the
exactly.
hot coals and
exactly.
just bring back memories of days that were far more innocent than they are today.
Exactly. Well, you know, you mentioned curiosity, and that kind of leads me on each day. Do you remember when you were a kid and you used to enjoy just kind of either going for a walk or riding your bike and just wondering what's around the next bend? You know, what's if I go a little further, I just want to see what's around the next bend. And you can end up walking or traveling miles that way.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to go mm-hmm. for rides and I'd end up someplace so far away I didn't even know how I was going to get back.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's the curiosity, I think, that you're mentioning, and I just love that. I love
it. Absolutely. Just,
you know,
having the wonderment of a child.
Yeah. Yeah.
Smelling
yeah.
and looking at a rose.
Yeah.
As if you've never seen one before.
Yeah.
And being with your beloved in whatever relationship you're in. And making the very next moment together as if it is your first, as if it is your last, as if it is the most precious interaction, you're going to create a memory. You're going to be so present that you want to capture that memory to live with forever in that instant.
Yeah.
And you stop taking each other for granted.
Yep.
And you realize that we live in the most magical, perfect illusion imaginable. And it's just us who become jaded in our own fear.
Yes. Yeah.
Our fear of separation, our fear of abandonment, our fear of not understanding, our fear of not being good enough, all the stuff we do that creates the little dramas in our life. And just for a moment, transcend it and be so present that everything else, that it blocks out everything else. It leaves no room for anything but the majesty of the moment, the infinite instant that explodes into all that is and
mm-hmm.
consumes every part of your being. It's that passion we need to recreate in our lives,
mm-hmm.
however we do it,
mm-hmm.
whatever form it takes, it's up to us.
Mm-hmm.
There isn't a right way, there isn't a wrong way. There's
mm-hmm.
just stuff that gives you absolute divine highs and stuff that drags you down. And you just go for the highs and get rid of the stuff that takes you down.
Yep, exactly. It was funny because I was out on the yard today with the dogs, and there was a bee buzzing around, and I just stopped and kind of play. I didn't play with it. I put my finger down there in case it wanted to light on me. But it was busy buzzing, and I realized that, in 20 states, the bees have disappeared. And I looked at the bee and I thought, well, thank God, you know, you're one bee that has not disappeared from the face of the earth. You're still pollinating. And that's kind of a scary thing, you know, that I think Einstein said, if the bees disappear, we've got 4 years left.
Bees are disappearing. I can't even believe that you brought this up. I spent this past weekend with a wonderful gentleman that came in to spend the weekend with us, drove in from Phoenix, and he kept bees, and we were talking about the fact that, or he was telling me that bees were disappearing, and one of the reasons was bees became a commercial sport, in that beekeepers would take the hives on their trucks and then drive them around to different fields, large orchards, to pollinate the flowers, and they would go from one to another, and the bees just got to the point where they didn't have their own home. You know, they were constantly moved, and the populations were beginning to dwindle. So we were looking as to, you know, what was going on, but the feeling is almost as if the electromagnetics of the planet are shifting in such a way that it's just telling those that are tuned into it, entities like the bees and certain birds and others that navigate by the electromagnetic frequencies, that something is changing and that something is falling apart. You know, we talk about the fact that it's not dramatic enough for humans to see it, only because on this planet we are among the grossest beings in terms of being able to pull in through our senses. A dog,
for example. Yes.
Their sense of smell is a million times more keen than ours.
Yes.
If you take a look at our entertainment, it's becoming increasingly gross. Mm-hmm. We need violence in sports. We need violence and overt sexuality in our movies. I mean, without that, without special effects, we don't think anything is worth seeing anymore.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Without something shocking. It used to be, if you go back to the old, you know, Turner movies on television, they used this incredible artifact called a script. And it actually had some brilliant dialogue. Well, that's almost perfect.
Well, they had good writers like you and me.
Yeah, they had some extraordinary writers.
My favorites are still W.C. Fields and Laurel and Hardy.
Yeah,
and
for sure.
Some of those old movies are great.
I do indeed.
I love them.
I think I'd rather be in Philadelphia. Absolutely do. So we have, these are phenomenal times. I mean, if everyone shifts just for a moment and looks at the possibility of a point of view, these are all invitations, of course, that each of us deliberately chose to be here now because of what is happening so that we could experience this. This is the richest moment in creation. We've chosen to join in it so that we can be part of this passion play. And we've forgotten.
Yeah.
We've forgotten. But in coming here, we got to the head of the line. There were hundreds of billions of other beings who would have given our eye teeth to be here.
Yep.
And we are the best of the best.
Yep.
Every single being on this planet is the best of the best in the cosmos. Act like it.
Yeah.
Act like it. Wake up and start being poor little me and stop needing to be enabled. Reclaim your power and make a difference locally, however you wish to do it. There isn't a rightness or a wrongness here. Just create passion in your life. Care about something, as Joseph Campbell said, follow your bliss.
Absolutely. Absolutely right. Yeah, another one that says that is Daryl Anka, who channels Bashar. And, you know, he's a big one for, you know, telling people to follow their bliss and follow their excitement. And, you know, that's basically what I've been doing, and I haven't had anything else to do, so I've just done whatever is the most exciting thing, and it gets more and more interesting as each day passes.
Absolutely. It doesn't matter what you do. What you choose to do is not nearly as important as how you choose to do it. Be totally alive. I get alive washing dishes. I absolutely like to watch the hot water interact with the soap and the dish get clean. I don't wash them to put them in the dishwasher. I am the dishwasher. I run it once a week empty just so that it thinks it can be part of the family.
You got an extra hour or two?
There you go. And I do windows, too. I'll tell you, I'm
and I suppose you like
versatile
to chop wood and carry water as well.
I love to chop wood and carry water.
Next we'll
but
be calling
what
you master.
But whatever you do, you know, and when I do a chore sometimes that I say, God, I would like to, I'm going, whoa, 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 Jean-Claude. What a privilege it is to have sufficient consciousness to do this chore.
Yeah.
Be totally present with it. And allow it to be your supreme master teacher, this chore. If you can do this chore with supreme consciousness, you will become enlightened.
Yeah.
It's that simple. It doesn't matter what you do. How you do it is the key thing.
Yeah.
And as I said earlier, the most magical thing you can do is rekindle relationships with yourself.
Yeah.
Put yourself in the relationship and rekindle the magic that first got the two of you together and find a way to recapture that in every single moment and find the absolute blessing that that relationship holds for you, for the two of you, the space that you create together that is unique in all of the universe.
Yes.
And value it. Above all, value it.
Mm-hmm. Do you find do you find that synchronicity increases for you as time passes?
Absolutely. If you put yourself out to move, if you commit to whatever you wish to commit to, heaven and earth moves to open the path for you.
Yeah.
I have, you know, since I was small, I've wondered about little things, and I would keep it in front of me. And then the universe would give me lesson after lesson after lesson. As I turn around and look back at my life, I go, God, it could not have been more perfect to move me to where I am, to train me to do what I currently do.
Yeah.
I could not have had better training.
Yep.
It was divinely guided by a higher aspect of my being. When you take a look at the oneness, and everybody says we're part of the oneness. No, you're not. You are the oneness. You're not part of it. In all of creation, there is only you. Everything you see is an aspect of you, just as you are an aspect of it. It's a total paradox. But when you get it, there isn't a you. The part that we refer to as the I need this, I want this, I desire this, look at me. There isn't a me in this. It's just a point through which the universe experiences as you.
Yeah.
And if your ego dissolves in that oneness, what arises out of the nothingness is everything. We're back to what we talked about at the very, very beginning.
Yeah, very good.
So it's creating the experiences, and you know, for me this is an ongoing learning. As I said, whatever I thought I had a year ago, I wish I could remember because it seemed to be so good at the time. It's gone. It's completely gone. And so for people who hold on to a text, to an ism, you know, to the word of, whether it's the word of God or the word of, you know, the powers that be, whatever the word is, the law,
right.
Rob themselves of this experience of absolutely not knowing.
Yeah.
The more fundamental one becomes in any belief or conviction, the less the opportunity is for new things to arise.
Yeah,
they're so firmly identified with a fixed system of seeing things that they can't possibly be open to something which is tangential or even directly opposing.
Yep, like the truth.
Well, truth with a small t.
Right,
all truth is perception. They would have you believe, you know, they would call me a relativist, which is their worst possible blasphemy. And they talk about the fact that they have the eternal, immutable truth, the Word of God, as spoken through the Council of Nicaea, whatever it was that rewrote it.
Oh, rubbish. Edit, right?
Yeah, I mean, somebody should get editing credits, I'm sure. But,
yeah, really.
But to feel that first of all, that something called the immutable truth in fact exists is a very limiting concept.
Yes.
If you realize that It's simply a point of perception. What you see depends on where you're looking from. And
yep.
if you insist on never changing the point from which you view, why is it so shocking that what you see never changes? So it would appear to you as if you have now found an immutable truth because you refuse to shift the point from which you view. That's why it appears to be truth with a capital T.
Yeah, yeah.
And to those people, God bless, they found it.
Yeah.
Now what? We all have
it. Exactly.
We all have it.
Well, you know, it's going to be awfully difficult as the vibrations amp up, and they are amping up, you know, for people to hang on to things like immutable truths, because they're just
That's why you're seeing people shifting to the sides of the bell curve.
Yeah, yeah.
They're either becoming more fundamental in their belief.
Right, right.
Or they're moving away from religion into spirituality. There was just a large poll done by the Gallup Group that showed that 40% of Americans now consider themselves spiritual as opposed to religious.
Oh.
And that's up from 30% just some 8 years ago, I think, or 6-7 years ago. The last poll was done in 1999. This was done in 2006. So there's that's a 33% shift in just a few years of people who are breaking away from, even though they still believe in God, or they still believe in God or something called a higher power. 84% would call it God, 12% would call it a higher power. All in all, 96% believe in that concept as opposed to it doesn't exist.
Uh-huh.
When people ask me, as they usually do at some point when this, you know, on these campfires, in these little chats,
right,
what's your view of God? I said, there isn't a God. There is only God.
Yeah.
People say, what are you talking about, Jean-Claude?
Yeah.
I said, because when you take a look at a God as a thing, a noun, it creates implicit separation.
Yep.
Now you have the creator and you have the creation.
Yes.
And you have this entire concept, which is so right to our science and so funny in a larger context of cause and effect.
Yeah.
There doesn't have to be cause and effect. There just has to be a flow that arises out of curiosity, self-directing itself.
Yes.
So that, to me, God is certainly not a noun. And I don't even think it was, as Bucky Fuller said, a verb. It just is all that is. There is nothing, manifest or no, which is not part of the all that is.
Yes.
Everything you see doesn't contain God. It is God. It's not that God is in all things. God is all things.
Yes.
And there's nothing when anybody speaks. It's God speaking. When anybody writes, it's God writing. So what isn't the world of the Word of God?
Yeah.
How do you choose between, you know, not to be blasphemous, but I am. I tend to be irreverent. Between a holy work and a classified phone book. It's all the Word of God.
I agree.
So it creates for those who would have you come into the fold.
Yeah.
Whatever that means. It creates a bit of a problem because it's we're empowering people instead of empowering the hierarchy that will lead you to salvation.
Yes, yes.
There is no separation between you and the oneness. You are the oneness.
Yep.
There is nothing to judge you except someone who would hold a particular scale against which you can be measured.
Yes.
That's unfortunate. Most
yeah, it is unfortunate. I think that's changing, though. With projects like the Global Network, I think that we'll see the colored glasses will start to fall off of people a little bit faster.
Well, we'll see. With certain, our intent is certainly to give people an opportunity to go wherever they wish to go. And after tasting at our buffet, they say, you know what? I want to go back to my roots and I want to be as fundamental as I was before I came. The answer is with our blessing.
Yeah.
There is no rightness or wrongness here.
Yeah.
It's just all we seek to do is to offer people the opportunity.
Yeah,
and to encourage them to make whichever decision feels right for them for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
And then to feel absolutely free to change it 5 minutes later, should that be what they wish to do.
Yeah, I love it. Well, everything is alive anyway, and ideas are the same way. And, you know, books that are written at a certain time, and they're dead. You know, they don't have the influence that they, you know, influence is a living thing. And
yes,
when you capture something in writing, the second it's down on paper,
I agree. It's like a stepping stone across the brook, and I can't even begin to think of where I was at the point that seems so relevant to me.
Yeah.
And let it go. Let it go. Yeah. It served me well. It was written to express whatever my curiosity and my interests were and my understandings were at the time, and it was a tremendous experience for me.
Mm-hmm.
I still get wonderful calls and letters and emails from people whose lives have been transformed because of it. And
yeah.
That's why I said, you know what? Here it is on the website. Enjoy the book. It's one... 2 awards as the best metaphysical book of the year, so I just think, you know, thank you. It's a thrill to put it out there. It was an absolute privilege and a joy. And it's not about charging. It's not about making money. It's about making whatever contribution I can to help people and to encourage all of us to do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's why the book is up there. I'm going to encourage many other authors to put their entire text online.
Well, I plan on putting my book online as soon as I get it edited and finished.
Wonderful.
So, you know, because there's stuff in there, I mean, I'm over the writing of it now, but there's stuff in there that I know will be beneficial to at least one person, and that's all that matters, you know.
Absolutely.
And
then the mere fact that it's up there and people all over the world can have access to it freely.
Exactly.
Goes into the cosmic consciousness. It changes,
yes.
You know, whether one reads it or not, you absorb stuff that is out there.
Yes.
And you put it out on the net. That's what the net is so phenomenal. We think we have to tune into every website to get the energy that flows. We don't.
No.
Just putting it out there opens it up to the collective. We are all hooked into this vast cosmic hologram. At the lower level, they call it the Akashic, the morphogenic field. I mean, the archetypal world. There's so many things that we can call it that people have referred to it, but there is a collective consciousness that we're hooked into, and when you take the trouble to take what you've expressed out of yourself and put it down on paper, and then put it up on the web, it's an amazing contribution.
Yeah,
it's an amazing contribution, Lance.
Well,
thank you.
And thank you, too. You know, I was just rereading your book this week in preparation to talk with you again because I'd wanted to reread it anyway. And I found myself laughing and chuckling and delighted and amazed and moved. And, you know, it's really, you know, it should have won at least two awards or more. And
thank you. That's very kind. Yeah, it's a sweet book. It doesn't take itself seriously.
Yeah.
It deals with, you know, as deep as I could go at the time is where the book took me. It was an actual download. A lot of the material in there, I had no idea about it all. I was learning as the character was learning. So it's quite a journey.
Wow. Well, so what's next for you, Jean-Claude? Are you appearing anywhere on the globe for people?
I am all over the place. As I said, I'm going up to Victoria at the end of this month.
Okay.
In April, I'm going to Florida, to West Palm Beach, and to Orlando and Smyrna Beach, and then I'm going up to New York.
Ah.
I'm having I'm meeting my best friend that I grew up with that I don't think I've spoken to in more years than I care to remember. And I'm going to the 50th reunion of my high school graduating class.
Oh, dear.
As a good friend said to me, Jean-Claude, whatever for? And I'm going, because I am so curious. And
sure.
I don't think I can remember the names of 5 people who were in that, you know, in that graduating class with me.
Right.
I'm sure they're all, you know, they're all fascinating and interesting because it was a very unusual school that I went to. But I'm just, I couldn't resist. When I got a phone call out of the blue,
oh yeah,
a name that I just happened to remember, and I couldn't place a face or anything else with it. I just said yes, absolutely yes. Why? Because I go through life collecting adventures, and this will be an adventure.
Exactly, and who knows what door will open?
Who knows, indeed. If I don't make myself available when the knock is there and I don't open it, then that was an opportunity that I might have missed.
Absolutely. Well, you'll be one of the best looking ones there. You're very fit. It's all those presentations you do and your lifestyle are definitely reflected in your demeanor.
Well, thank you. I'm married to an amazing woman who's like one of the most brilliant healers. She's a world-class naturopath.
Oh,
and
wow.
She keeps me beyond healthy. And
wow.
She said, Jean-Claude, if we don't walk our talk, maybe it's time for us to just shut up. We have to be the embodiment of what we espouse.
Maybe I should get her on the show sometime to talk about.
Oh, she is an absolute phenomenon.
Well, I will have to have her on then if she'd like to be. You know,
I don't know. I will definitely ask her.
Ask her if she'd like to just chat about, you know, what she does and what she recommends, and you know.
I know she gives a lot of presentations to her peers at, you know, at various conferences around the country.
Yeah.
I will definitely ask her.
Well, wonderful.
She's not done it yet, but it's what fun it would be.
Sure.
It would certainly help a lot of people. It's helped me, my gosh.
Well, absolutely. Well, Jean-Claude, I think we're just about out of time. It has gone by
faster much too quickly.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'll have to have you back and not wait a whole year this time.
My
pleasure.
Anytime
you
want, the answer is yes.
Okay. Best wishes and many blessings, Jean-Claude. You're just wonderful. Thank you so much.
And love and light to you and to all the listeners out there. And it's time we became self-empowered, took our power back from all the beings who very happily kept it from us.
Yes.
And changed ourselves. Changed our minds, changed ourselves, changed the points from which we view, and everything about this planet will shift in a heartbeat.
And make sure that we have your website where people can follow up on what you were
saying. It's www.goingdeeper.org. O-R-G.
Wonderful.
You can trace where I am. You can see the author's calendar. You can read all the articles. We'll be posting a new article every single week. I've got a backlog of about 5 or 6 that'll be going up, I think, next week. We're just getting them through a final edit. And there's about 40 or 50 or 60 already up on the site. So,
yeah, and they're wonderful
articles. You have enough to keep you busy for a little while.
Yes, absolutely.
Plus
Thanks
the entire
again.
Book.
Yes, the book, the wonderful book, Going Deeper. Well, good night, everybody. And good night, Jean-Claude.
Thank you.